used to have traveling salesmen coming past what Dhammasatit. They drive down the road in their trucks with their wares in the back and a loudspeaker on the top. And most of them didn't have very fancy spiels. The man who sold salt would just say salt, salt, salt as he drove down the road. The man who sold those big water jars that they used to collect rainwater off of roofs would just say water jars, water jars. But there was one man who sold Chinese dumplings. And he was special because he had some special spiels. He was also special because you could tell he was a little bit drunk every day as he was driving down the road selling his Chinese dumplings, which is probably why the spiels were so special. My favorite one was he would come down. Yeah, he would come quite frequently sometimes. He'd come down the road announcing that today's dumplings are better than yesterday's. And we used to laugh about it. Exactly how good could Chinese dumplings get? Because this went on day after day after day. Today's dumplings are better than yesterday's. Until somebody pointed out, well, consider, where are yesterday's dumplings now? What condition are they in? Would you want to eat them? And the answer, of course, is no. So no matter how bad today's dumplings might be, they're still better than yesterday's. And you can take this story and you can reflect on it and get some good Dharma lessons in all kinds of directions. One direction is thinking about sensual pleasures. Where are yesterday's sensual pleasures? Where are all the good tastes you had in yesterday's food? They're gone. And what did you do in order to get those tastes? What kind of karma are you still carrying around because of what you did to get those tastes, those sights, those smells, those tactile sensations? Think about this whenever you get a really strong craving for a particular type of food or a particular type of sensation. It'll be there for just a few moments and then it'll be gone. And all the actual pleasure may go just as quickly. Still, we're left with the leftover karmic residue, what you did in order to get that pleasure. And the question is it worth it? This is one of the reasons we have that reflection on the requisites every night. Food, clothing, shelter, medicine. Realizing that they all come at a karmic cost. And so you don't want to indulge in them just for the pleasure, the sensual charge you may get out of them. Because the charge goes. And no matter how much the mind may try to weave a web of gratification, satisfaction, something special around that pleasure, you realize that all that web does is set you up to hunger for it again. Psychologists say that people are pretty bad at gauging the pleasure they've had in the past and deciding whether or not they want to try to repeat that pleasure again in the future. The experience may actually be a negative experience. You read about mountain climbers who are miserable as they go up the mountain, but as soon as they're done, they can't wait to go back and do it again. It's because the mind weaves such a web around the whole idea of climbing the mountain. This is one of the reasons why we're so susceptible to advertisements. All advertisers do is weave the same kind of web. So you don't really look at the actual experience. You just get engaged in weaving the web and the fabrication around the pleasure to make it seem like a lot more than it was. So this is one of the things you have to do as a meditator, is learn how to cut through those webs and actually look at a sensory experience for what it is. Brief moment of contact, brief experience of pleasure or pain, then it's gone. So the next time there's any urge to go after that particular pleasure again, you can remind yourself of what exactly was the experience like. Was it worth it? And learn to replace your usual web of associations with other associations. There's that famous sutta where the Buddha compares food to the couple who has to go across the desert, and they've got their only baby son. And halfway through the desert, they run totally out of food. And they realize that unless they eat their baby son, they're all going to die. So they figure, well, it's better that one dies instead of all three dying. So they kill the son and they make baby jerky. And they eat the jerky for the rest of the way. And the Buddha asks, how are those people feel about the jerky? Will they eat it for pleasure and enjoyment? No, there'll always be that sense of, our son is lost. They'd eat it with sorrow. And the Buddha says, try to develop the same association with physical food, realizing there's been a lot of suffering going into bringing that food to you. If there's meat, there was an animal that had to die. Even if there's no meat, there's still suffering. The people who work, the farmers, farm workers, the people who work in the transport, the people who work in the grocery stores, the people who work to fix the food for you. There's a lot of work that goes just into that mouthful of food. And what are you going to do with it? Are you going to pretend that it comes without a cost? Or are you going to be conscious of the cost and do what you can in order to pay it back? And John Lee has one of his more memorable Dharma talks is, focusing on the fact that this body we have right here is made up out of the food that we've eaten. And where do we get that food from? Other beings. It's like we've borrowed it. He says there's going to come a point when they call for it back. He says throughout life they don't ask for the whole thing back. They come and they just collect interest, the aches and the pains and the little diseases we get. But there comes a point when they're going to ask for the whole thing back. And what will you have at that point? Well, if you haven't used the body in order to develop good qualities of mind, you're going to be really up a creek. So this is why we reflect on the requisites. We need them in order to practice. But learn how to use them just for the sake of the practice. And don't get distracted into other ideas, other associations around them. And was that just reflecting on the requisites in this way? That's enough to make you a non-returner if you really do it properly. So it's not a minor practice, reflecting on food, reflecting on clothing, shelter, and medicine. So every time you eat, think about what you'll be thinking tomorrow about the food you ate today, or the pleasant tastes in your mouth today. What will you be thinking about them tomorrow? You hardly remember them. They're gone. They're past. to think that way, to get a different perspective on them, on all the pleasures that you scramble for. Think of them all as yesterday's dumplings. That'll help bring them into perspective.